Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for Easter weekend, April 11th and 12th, 2020. We hope you enjoy this special Easter podcast.
Hello, my name is David Chase, and on behalf of the New Hope family, we're excited to connect with you on this special holiday, no matter where you're at or how you're joining us. Now, I love Easter so much, as I know many or most of you do too. I think it's safe to say, though, that this is not how any of us thought Easter would look right now. But it does not stop us from celebrating Jesus' resurrection. Like I mentioned in a message a few weeks ago, the resurrection is everything to our faith. And it is exciting to remember this monumental event, even though we are apart physically. The staff and the New Hope family have put together several special moments for you. But before we join them, I want to invite you to keep joining us right here online. Now, next week, Carrie starts a series titled People Skills, where we'll look at how Jesus related to different characters in the Bible and the tips that we can gain from looking at those interactions. As we continue this social distancing and shelter-in-place measures that we're all getting very tired of, the church offices have closed. Now, we want to be clear, we do not do this out of fear, but because we are protectors of our church family, of others, and especially our community. Now, some other ways that we can be a light in our community that we'd like to take a little bit of time to point you to is to give blood at the LifeServe Blood Center right here in Marshalltown. They are low, and they could really use our support. Also, food banks have taken a really big hit. Now, let's continue to be protectors by helping them and thus our community. They have ways of buying food that's much cheaper than kind of you and I can buy food. So what we're trying to do as a church is take a special offering here at the church and donating it with other donations that we've received and other resources we have. Now, lastly, we have a family guide to help parents or anyone that's young at heart lead your family through the message. It should be in the YouTube description right below or on our website if you're getting it from our website or anywhere you find our message. Now, this guide makes you the leader and maybe more importantly for some of you, makes you the remote holder, but it also keeps your kids engaged all the way through the message. If you want to connect face to face, as I know I like to, we meet on Zoom at 10 a.m. on Sundays. We'd love to see you there. But I think the worship team, I think I hear them, and I think Carrie, I think they're ready for us now. So let's go on in.
Well, hello, New Hope. We're glad that you're here to celebrate with us on this resurrection morning. I wanted to start off our time together by reading the end of Matthew 28. The scene is the women come to the empty tomb and the angel is there. And it says, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. And I think we all need to hear those words, especially this past month, that don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said. So we're here this week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because we can find hope in him. Let's worship together as we celebrate the risen Christ. Glad you're here. Come on, let's lift our rubber voices. Let's worship the King.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. And see what a Savior has done. And see how his love overcomes. He has done great things.
power in fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Over the years, I've been asked many times why believers at New Hope take communion every week. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus instructed his disciples to constantly remember his sacrifice. Jesus told them to eat some bread and drink from a cup that represented his body and blood. just because we cannot worship together as a body of believers does not mean we should stop observing communion in our homes as a family. To take communion at home does not require a formal setting or take much effort. It can be as simple as cutting up a piece of bread and drinking from a child's juice glass to help us remember Christ's sacrifice. My family receives comfort knowing that if we honor Jesus, He promises He will always be here for us.
Hello, New Hope. Welcome to my home. Figured since you're all at home, it's appropriate for you to get a chance to see into my home this Easter. And so I just got home from lunch. You're going to get to see our home in pretty raw form. So yeah, here we go. Joshua, say hi.
Hi.
Abby, do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
Hi. Okay. So this is our kitchen. Fun place to be. I have been eating a lot more lately, and so I am home more. And people say that they've had a hard time because their kids can't seem to stop eating. I think Rachel's having a hard time because I can't seem to stop eating. But on a different note, here is our living room. Like I said, raw form, and so this is what I came home to. Books on the floor, drawing pads, toys, blankets, everywhere. And so, yeah, in our home, it's just kind of a sign that it's been a fun morning, huh, Josh?
Yeah.
Been a fun morning, yeah? He says yes. Okay, so in the corner, we got our tomato plants growing like crazy over there. Can't wait to get the garden planted. We're not going to go back there. That's where the bedrooms are, and Gabe is sleeping, and so we don't want to wake him up. So we will stay up here. I will show you what we've been working on in the middle of COVID-19, and so should we show them what the basement looks like, everybody? Okay, here we go. Abby and Josh will lead the way. Okay, it's messy, so watch your step. Might trip on some boots on the way down. Abby, can you turn on the lights? Josh and Abby?
I can't turn on these.
Welcome to the basement project. And so this has been some of our weekends and soon to be some of our evenings. We got some framing up and getting ready to install some drywall. So this might not look like much, but considering that when we bought the house, there was just a toilet surrounded by saloon doors down here, I think we're making some progress. And so with that, you've kind of seen really more or less all of our little house. And so we're gonna head back upstairs. Here we go. Okay, so things got a little bit messier when we got upstairs. And so now the cushions are off of the couch and we're starting lunch. But I just wanna take a real quick minute to say thank you. I know there are a lot of people who have continued to be extremely generous in this season. And so we are still doing well as a church. God is taking care of us, and we're able to do some really cool things, whether it's creating resource packets to send home with families, or being able to buy subscriptions to lead Zoom chats, online chats with youth and other adults, whether it's being able to continue to give out of the benevolence fund to help people meet needs at the end of each month. Whatever it is, because of the generosity of members at New Hope, we are still able to do some really, really cool things. And so if you're wondering, things are going well as they could be in this season. If you'd like to partner with us by giving financially, we'd love to have your support. But please know that we trust that God is going to continue to provide for His church in His time. On another note, a similar note, I want you to be thinking about how you can be giving towards the people around you. And so in this season, there's going to be a lot of really practical needs. I think a lot of times when we think about giving in our communities, it can be easy to think that we need to give to the next big, shiny thing. But the reality is that the needs right now are super practical. And so think of things like food and friendship, right? Two really, really practical things right now. If God has allowed you to, if God has given you the resources to help someone,
help them. If they need food, give them food. If they need gas to get to work, give them $20. If they need friendship and someone to talk to, take 5 minutes to talk to them across the fence or to give them a phone call. Let's be looking for ways to help the people around us at a time when it can be so instinctive to just hold on to what we have. Let's be different. When he was speaking to a group of people who were wondering where they were going to get their next food and the clothing on their backs, Jesus had these words: "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God will provide for us. God will take care of us as we seek him. And so let's look for ways to help the people around us in this season. Let's find new ways to be the church wherever we do life.
Hi, New Hope family. Welcome to our home, where we've been spending the majority of our time during this coronavirus pandemic. Now, spending time at home or close to home is not new to us because we farm, we raise cattle, and we homeschool our kids. But we wanted to invite you in and just to give you a little peek into our lives. Here's where we cook the meals. Here's where we eat the meals.
Here's where we do the school.
Or here.
Or here.
Or here.
Or here.
Our time at home might not look like your time at home, but we just wanted to share a couple things that we've put into practice these past couple weeks that have been helpful in keeping things run as smoothly as possible.
First, make and abide by a responsibility chart so everybody knows what's expected of them from day to day.
Cooking!
Cleaning!
Laundry!
And second, turn off the news and replace it with Christian music or podcasts.
Third, take advantage of this unique time together as a family.
Read the Bible together, pray together,
and play games. We hope that you are all doing well, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys at church again soon.
Happy Easter!
7 days we do school up here.
Happy Easter to all of you who are joining us for our 2020 New Hope Christian Church online Easter services. We're taping this year's Easter message from the crib of Carrie and Jane. Now, for those of you who are older than myself, all four of you, a crib is a home. So welcome to our home this Easter. While the coronavirus has changed how we do Easter, it doesn't change the message of Easter itself at all, does it? So I thought this Easter, because I normally dress up for Easter weekend, I would dress up for you as we tape this message. I remember when I was a kid, why we'd get new clothes every Easter. So, excuse me, get a drink of water here. All right. Over the years, I've dabbled a little bit in magic, and if I do say so myself, I've gotten pretty good at it. For instance, I'll show you a trick here real quick. Right here in this hand is a coin, and I'm going to magically transport it over to this hand. So there you go. One of the most famous magicians of all time is David Copperfield. The Society of American Magicians gave Copperfield the title Magician of the Century. In 1988, David Copperfield was the first to perform a trick that many have duplicated since then. So while he's lying flat on a table, his stomach down, a whirring saw blade comes down and cuts his torso in two. Assistants pull the two tables apart, and on the one table, his legs are still moving. On the other table, his hands are moving and his head is moving. In fact, they even turn that table around so he can look at his legs that are moving. And then as assistants put the two tables back together again, David Copperfield would stand up, arise from the table, his body totally intact. Magic really isn't supernatural, is it? It is either sleight of hand or someone having an unusually high pain threshold. On the other hand, what we celebrate at Easter was not some magician fooling us with what appeared to be a dead body that then came back to life. There is irrefutable evidence that nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ literally died and was buried in a tomb that was guarded by Roman soldiers on a Friday. First-hand witnesses not only saw him alive again on Sunday, but for several weeks afterwards as well. Every Easter, we celebrate that supernatural miracle, a truth which has eternal ramifications for all those who choose to believe it and wholeheartedly follow Jesus Christ. Our text for this Easter message is actually found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. Jesus has already resurrected from his tomb, appeared to hundreds of people, and returned to heaven. Jesus' disciples have already received the power of God's Holy Spirit, and they are boldly sharing this great news with people then, even as we share that great news with people today. And that message is this: because Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died and was buried, and then rose from the dead, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ can live like no one else here on earth and live eternally with Christ in heaven. So I'm going to ask my lovely wife, Jane, to read the text for today, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13.
While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus.
Thank you, Jane. So in our text, we see, first of all, the truth of Jesus' resurrection disturbs some people. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And you know, when we're out traveling, oftentimes we come up to a stop sign or a stoplight and there's somebody there asking for money. And it was the same way for this individual, this man who had been lame from birth. Friends daily carried him to the temple where he would beg from those religious people going into the temple to worship. Naturally, one would assume that those people would be more compassionate. Well, so when Peter and John make eye contact with this man, he expects, they're going to give me some money. Instead, Peter tells the guy to walk. Peter walks over, gives the man his right hand, helps him stand up. Now remember, this man had never stood before. His legs and his feet had never responded to a message from his brain to walk. And yet, within a few seconds, this man who had been lame from birth is not only walking, he's running around and he's jumping for joy. Well, naturally, everybody that knew this guy were flabbergasted. They were dumbfounded. So Peter seizes the opportunity to tell the people where this man received the power to walk. The resurrection of Jesus was a central theme in Peter's preaching. In chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter said, "While you all, those who were gathered, those Jewish people who were there at the time, while you all killed the author of life, God raised him from the dead." In chapter 3 and verse 26, as Peter is concluding his sermon, he says, "When God raised up his servant, God sent Jesus to first bless each of you by empowering you to turn from your wicked and sinful ways." So we pick up the story here in Acts chapter 4, when some of the priests and the temple guard and the Sadducees come and arrest Peter and John. Now I want you to notice why they arrested him in verse 2. "These Jewish religious leaders were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. Furthermore, they were teaching that because Jesus had resurrected from the dead, so could others." They were greatly disturbed. Why would that truth greatly disturb these religious leaders? Why wouldn't they be happy with that kind of teaching? Why wouldn't they embrace that great news? I'll tell you why. Because it conflicted with their own beliefs. One of the official functions of the Sadducees was to teach and interpret the Old Testament scriptures. And now, these two uneducated fishermen were teaching large audiences truths that contrasted with what the Sadducees had been teaching. I can tell you, scholars were not all that happy or thrilled with Pythagoras suggesting around the year 500 BC that the earth was round instead of flat. I can tell you that not because I was there, but because I read it. Warning to parents here, if your children believe in the Easter Bunny, cover their ears right now, because I was upset, man, when I was growing up and my friends broke the news to me there was no Easter Bunny. What I can't figure out is why no one told me that before Bible college. But nevertheless, in our text, Peter and John were teaching things that didn't coincide with what the Sadducees were teaching. So Peter and John were thrown in jail, and the next day they stood before the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was a powerful Jewish ruling council consisting of 70 Pharisees and Sadducees. These were the same guys who condemned Jesus to death. In fact, they thought they had successfully dealt with this whole Jesus movement, and now they find themselves dealing with followers of Jesus who were every bit as persistent and troublesome as Jesus had been. The message of a resurrected Savior, the hope and the promise of our own future resurrection, has greatly disturbed many people for the past 2,000 years, including people today. People whose minds simply won't accept that teaching any more than the Sadducees could in Jesus' day. In fact, many of us probably once were in that category where we were skeptics or doubters. 2 years ago, Joy Behar called Vice President Mike Pence mentally ill on ABC's daytime show, The View, because he dared to say he talks to Jesus. To his credit, the vice president didn't retaliate, but he did say, and I quote, "It's an insult not just to me, but to the vast majority of American people who, like me, cherish their faith." Pence went on to say that Behar's comment, quote, "demonstrates how out of touch some of the mainstream media are with the faith and the values of American people." He said, "It's just simply wrong for ABC to have a television program that expresses that kind of religious intolerance." In the year 64 AD, when fire broke out in Rome, and in 3 days burned down a good portion of the city, the Roman Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for starting the fire. More recently, Catherine Stewart wrote an article in the New York Times entitled, "The Road to Coronavirus Hell Was Paved by Evangelicals." True. Stewart asserts that Christianity denies science, bashes government, prioritizes loyalty over professional expertise, and is irrational. Her conclusion, and I'm quoting her now, "In this current crisis, we are all reaping what that evangelical movement has sown." What Peter and John were facing then, what Christians have faced for 2,000 years, is that the Christian faith, including the teaching concerning the resurrection, greatly disturbs some people. Now, those who don't agree with the truth of Christianity or those intolerant toward Christians, they're not bad people. They're simply blinded by a belief system that's not open to searching or knowing or accepting the truth. Secondly, the truth of Jesus' resurrection also changes other people. Verse 4 says, "But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. We're told in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 that the number of believers in Jerusalem was 120. Just a few hours later, that same day after Peter had preached his sermon, Acts 2 verse 41 tells us, another 3,000 were added to the church. And now the healing of the lame man and Peter's sermon following it brought the total to 5,000 men. Now, why does it specifically only mention men? Honestly, that's just the way the Jewish society was at that time. If you recall, when Jesus fed 6,000 in John chapter 6, it also said that only included the men. So the actual number of men and women who had come to faith in Jesus Christ was much more than 5,000 by this time. I suspect the Sanhedrin assumed these two uneducated fishermen would be intimidated standing in front of so many religious scholars. I suspect these Pharisees and Sadducees thought these two commoners would fumble and bumble their way through the question that was posed to them. Who gave you guys the right to do this? Where did you get the authority? What are your credentials for teaching this false information? These religious elite had no idea who they were dealing with. They were too blind to see who they were talking to. Why? And I get it. Less than 2 months earlier, Peter and John had been outside of this very building in the courtyard while Jesus was being interrogated and ridiculed in the same place, same spot they now found themselves. And in that sitting, Peter denied knowing Jesus three different times. But that was before the resurrection. That was before Peter received the Holy Spirit. These know-it-alls just handed Peter and John their text and their message on a silver platter. Peter was about to give them the tongue lashing of their lives. Peter says, "Can someone please explain to us the crime in helping a man who has been lame from birth walk for the first time?" Peter then tells them the same thing he told the crowd the day before. "This man was healed by the same Jesus you all crucified. This man is able to walk because of the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You need to hear me now and believe me now," Peter said. "Salvation is only found in the person and in the name of Jesus." The great pro wrestler Hulk Hogan has said that science might not have the answer to the coronavirus question. I quote, he said, "Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distraction of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing that really matters in the world, Jesus Christ." Mark Wahlberg grew up in a Catholic home, but acknowledges being involved in gangs and brawling and living for himself. Wahlberg's early life in Boston included various drug addictions, over 20 run-ins with the law, ending up in prison at the age of 16 for violent assault. He has more recently returned to his faith and publicly repented for the graphic R-rated movies he has made. Wahlberg now says, and I quote, "My faith is the most important part of my life. I start every day with prayer. And I would have never been able to change my life, have the success and love that I have today without my faith." Whether we can fully explain it or not, the reality is this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the message that Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was buried in a tomb, and Jesus resurrected from the dead, was changing people's lives 2,000 years ago, and that message is still changing people's lives today. And then thirdly, the truth of Jesus' resurrection inspires many people. Even though Peter and John were ordinary fishermen, even though they had never been trained in a sanctioned rabbinical school, all of these religious leaders were astonished by the boldness and the clarity with which these two spoke. The only explanation was that these men had been with Jesus. When people see a changed life in us, it is a huge testimony to the power of Jesus in us. When we assume that life begins at birth and life ends with death, all of our priorities, all of our goals, all of our ambitions, all of our resources operate within that short time frame. Because life has only 60 to 90 years for most of us, we are motivated to enjoy as many vacations as we can, accumulate as much money as we can, acquire as many awards as we can, look as fit and young as we can, because we never know when it's all going to come to an end. Too many look at retirement as their ultimate life of leisure. We have this mental picture of where we will live, either in the mountains or near a beach. We have this vision of what we will be doing in retirement, whether it's golfing or boating or gardening or traveling. But none of us knows how long retirement is going to last. It could be a few years, at most, 3 decades. On many occasions, Jesus told us he wants us to focus on that which really matters. Those who love their lives in this life will lose it. Those who care nothing for this life in this world will keep it for all eternity. Don't set your heart on what you will eat or what you will wear. The pagan world pursues these things. First pursue, Jesus said, a deeper relationship with God, and he'll take care of whatever else you really need in this world. What kept the apostles going in spite of their persecutions, in spite of the hardships they faced, in spite of the trials they came up against? What kept them going? It was their focus on heaven. It was their knowledge that because Jesus resurrected from the dead, they had that same hope, that same promise, and so do we. Paul said that too many people have their minds set on earthly things. Christ followers must have their minds set on heaven. Paul said our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that we are someday going to experience. The author of Hebrews tells us that the great men and women of faith in the past saw themselves as foreigners and nomads here on earth. They were looking for a better place. They were looking for a heavenly homeland. C.S. Lewis once said, and I quote, "Those Christians who do the most for the Lord in this present world are the ones who think most about the next world. Focus on heaven and you'll enjoy earth as well. Focus on earth and you won't enjoy either. Or as someone has said, the destination will make the journey all worth it. The evidence that more people are searching for eternal truths during this coronavirus crisis than they were under normal circumstances is overwhelming. It's amazing to see the response to church websites posting their worship messages and services, including our own. Now, people were doing that beforehand, but it's gone over the top. People with no church background or no religious affiliation are watching, many of whom wouldn't have come into a church building prior. When President Donald Trump tweeted that he would be watching Greg Lowry's Palm Sunday webcast at Harvest Church in California, 1.3 million chose to do the same. Over 11,000 made decisions to pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Joel Osteen decided to cancel their weekend worship services in Lakewood at the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, the weekend of March 14th and 15th, they reported 4.5 million people turning in to watch those services over the internet. That number smashed the previous high when Kanye West led worship at Lakewood Church last November. Bible publishers are reporting an increase of 50, 60, 70% and higher since this current crisis started. One publisher stated, and I quote, "We believe people are buying Bibles because there's a longing to connect with God, a longing to find meaning and experience peace." Jeanette Benson, a professor at the University of Copenhagen, analyzed internet searches for prayer in over 75 different countries and has stated that the information, the search for information about prayer has doubled every 80,000 new registered cases of COVID-19 across the world. Is it an accident that all of this desire to know more spiritually is happening right now? Is it an accident? This current crisis, is it occurring at the time of year we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? John Burke has written an amazing book entitled Imagine Heaven. Jane and I will read two or three pages together now and then, taking turns, reading a few paragraphs out loud. And Burke writes in that book, and I quote, "How you think about heaven affects everything in life. How you prioritize love, how willing you are to sacrifice for the long term, how you view suffering, what you fear or don't fear." He says, "I'm convinced we can't even begin, but we should try to picture how magnificent, how spectacular, and how much fun heaven will be, and how much of what we love about this life and more awaits us in eternity." I'm convinced, he says, a main reason many people, Christian or not, live materialistic, self-centered lifestyles is their poor view of the life to come. They can't imagine heaven, so they don't live for it. In one of his shows, David Copperfield called a contestant from the audience. The young man's father had written Copperfield earlier and said he had been a bad father, and he wanted to make it up to his son by taking his son to Hawaii. So Copperfield committed to making it happen live and in front of the audience. The son is called out from the audience. He has a live feed from a sandy shore in Hawaii on a jumbotron the audience could all see. Members of the audience drew pictures on stage and then had Polaroid pictures taken of them with their artwork. Copperfield and the son stepped onto this raised platform to prove there was no trapdoor, and after a countdown, the pair disappeared from the sight of the audience, and a few seconds later showed up on the jumbotron there on the beach in Hawaii. And as proof, they were holding the Polaroid pictures they had just taken in front of the audience. The son meets his father in Hawaii, remains with him there, while Copperfield then returns to the audience. Great magic. But I'm here to tell you, someday soon, Jesus Christ is going to take every person who has committed their lives to following him here on earth, and he's going to take us to a reality, an eternity that none of us can comprehend. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even begin to comprehend the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus said, because I live eternally, you also will live eternally. Easter is the celebration, not of one who dazzles us with his magic, but rather of one who has showed us personally, showed us the way to live eternally. My friend, if you're not sure of where you're going to spend eternity, if you want to know how to follow Jesus, call us here at the church, 641-752-1612. Someone will make contact with you. Someone will share with you the same good news that Peter and John shared with their audiences in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great Easter celebration, this time when we remember the truth that Jesus not only lived, but he died and he was buried and he resurrected from the dead. And because he did, Jesus is the first fruits of others who, as a result of their faith in Jesus, will do the same. We look forward to that. There is no way that we can comprehend, God, the eternity that you are even now preparing for us. But Lord, it is with our minds focused on heaven that we are empowered to better live for you here in this life, to not take seriously, too seriously, the things we experience in this life, because we know we're just passing through and we have something better to come. Thank you, Lord God, for that truth. Empower us with that truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we want to close with a song from John and Casey Danielson and their family.
Okay, New Hope family, this last song that we're going to do with you guys is called Do It Again.
You have met.
Thank you for joining us in our Easter services at New Hope Christian Church. I am confident the resurrection power that God used to bring Jesus back to life is the same power he's going to use to bring the Nebraska Cornhuskers back to life. Friends, Paul said, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. I want to experience it. I want to observe it in the lives of other people. Let's go out and be the church wherever God calls us to do life so that we can see his resurrection power at work in us and through us. God bless you. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got to stop thinking what to say. Okay. Hey, thanks for joining us here on... Thanks for joining us on our... Hey, thanks for joining us for our Easter service. I am totally confident the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's going to bring the Nebraska Cornhuskers back to... Hey, thank you so much for joining us in our Christmas